Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here again today with our guest this week, Bishop Scott McKegg, who's the Bishop of the Military Ordinariate of Canada. And if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program over the last couple of days, you heard Monday Bishop Scott's becoming, really his conversion to Jesus initially, and then yesterday the wonderful story about his entering into the Catholic Church. And we got just to the point where he's looking at ordination. So today we're going to talk about how'd you become a priest, and then how do you become a bishop? And so welcome back, Bishop Scott.
Oh, it's good to be here.
Yeah, let's go.
Well, yesterday I sort of finished on a day sitting in front of the Blessed Sacrament at a cathedral where I was studying in university, and for the first time really made the surrender to the possibility of a religious vocation. And I told the Lord, like, you got to speak to me. You got to speak to me in a way that I'm going to understand. Because, like, I'm in a serious relationship, and this is a serious Catholic disciple, and it's almost like, Lord, I kind of got this worked out. So if you really want me to do this, you got to make it clear in a way that is unmistakable to me. Now, in order to understand how the Lord did that, I have to back up 10 years. When I was about 13 years old, I was in a car, our family car, with my dad and mom. We're driving down the highway somewhere in Canada, and I looked up and I saw a huge billboard sign. And it was a picture of Christ crucified, and with the signs over it saying, "Dare to be a priest like me." Now, I'm 13 years old. Mm. I don't know. I have a vague notion of who God is, vague belief in him. Don't know Jesus from Buddha. But something pierced me. I'm in the backseat of that car, and something pierced me. It pierced me to the very marrow of who I am. I had no language for a religious experience. I had no idea what this was or how to understand it. I said nothing to my parents. I said nothing to anybody. And I very promptly sort of forgot the experience. But it had left its mark. Here I am 10 years later on my knees before the Blessed Sacrament in this cathedral church, making the offering and putting the fleece out to the Lord. Like, you got to speak to me in a way I'm going to get it. I'm going to understand. I didn't even get out of the church before he answered that call, that cry. I got up, got out of the pew, genuflected, went to the back of the church, to the entrance, to the doors, and there was a copy of a Catholic magazine. And I flipped it open randomly. And there, staring me right in the face, is a picture of the 10th anniversary of a vocational advertising campaign with a picture of the crucified Christ and the words over the top, "Dare to be a priest like me." The same one I had seen 10 years earlier. And the conviction shot to the depth of my heart. My heart was in my throat. The Lord had answered my prayer so promptly that I didn't even have time to think about revoking that, you know, offer. Within a couple of weeks, I was sitting in the office of a man I had met when I was on net, a priest from Canada named Father Bob Bedard. And he was founding a community, a society of apostolic life called the Companions of the Cross. I had met this man when I was on net because we did the youth track for the Notre Dame Youth Conference at the Charismatic Conference. And he took me and a few of my buddies from net out for a pizza and a mug of beer and talked to us. And we asked him a lot of questions. At that time, I wasn't really interested at all in joining his community, but I was fascinated by what he was saying. But I knew instantly, if I was going to be a priest, I wanted to live my priesthood like this man, because he was not content to do maintenance model ministry. He wanted, in his words, to expand the tent pegs of the kingdom of God. He wanted to take ground for the kingdom. The mission of this new community was evangelization, sort of in the key of John Paul II. And they lived a dynamic community life. That's something that I had experienced on net. I wanted to live with men who had a desire to see the kingdom grow. I wanted to sharpen each other and to really live a deep, common life. Not just sharing a roof, but sharing a life as brothers. they had a deep, deep devotion to Our Lady. And in the intervening years, I had become a mama's boy. I fell in love with Our Lady. And her importance, her place in my life was so key and important. And these guys, they came to Jesus through Our Lady and with Our Lady and really believed in her, the power of her intercession and her love for Mother Church. They were faithful to the magisterium, which is something I was so convicted of. They do not mess with scripture, tradition, magisterium. They're going to be faithful. These are men after God's heart, and they want to be faithful to the church and to live the fullness of what God has revealed. And that for me was sine qua non. I wanted that. And finally, they were open, and not just open, but seeking to use the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in their life and in their ministry. They wanted to use all the charisms that God bestows upon the church as priests in their ministry, in the life of the community. That whole package, there was really no question for me. I never even really had to look at other communities or a diocese or anything else. From the moment I said yes to the vocation, or at least to discerning the vocation, I knew where I needed to be. And so I came and met Father Bob, and I talked to him and shared the vocation story. He invited me to come and live with the brothers, and came for lunch and never left.
Yeah. And when were you ordained, and what was that like?
I was ordained in 1995 on June 3rd, the feast day of Charles Lwanga and Companions. And yeah, what a time. What a time. Spent 5 years at St. Augustine Seminary in Toronto, Canada. My priesthood was just a whole new way of life. I served in a variety of capacities. I was an associate pastor. I did some hospital ministry. I worked for the community for a little while doing some administration stuff. Eventually, I became an administrator of a parish, kind of a pastor. Then in the year 2000, I was elected to our general council, and they appointed me to be the director of formation. So I was in charge of all the seminarians and loved that work. I did that for 6 years. In 2006, the community was going to send me to Rome to study, to do graduate studies. And instead, I got elected general superior of the community. So that put an end to my academic career. So I served from 2006 to 2012 as the general superior. During that time, our beloved founder, Father Bob, passed away. And in 2012, I was reelected for another six-year term. But I never finished that term because in 2016, at one morning, I got a phone call from the nuncio saying he wanted to meet with me.
What's a nuncio?
The apostolic nuncio, every country or groups of countries has one. And it is the Pope's representative in the country, both politically to the government, because the Vatican is a state, but more importantly, they help the Holy Father find who's going to be your bishops. So they're the one that coordinates the search for those called to the episcopacy. And yes, I got a call one morning. It happened to be, again, a huge act of providence. My fundamental devotion from the moment I became Catholic was the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the burning, pierced, thorn-crowned heart of Jesus on fire. And the modern kind of devotion to the Sacred Heart is really Divine Mercy. So it was the year of Divine Mercy. On the feast day of Divine Mercy, and he met with me immediately following the hour of Divine Mercy, where he sat me down and said, we need a military bishop for Canada. The military bishop is retiring. And he starts going through some of the qualities he's looking for. And in my head, I think that he's asking me for names so that they can consider these people as candidates.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm developing a short list of names of guys who I think would be great bishops and would be great for the military. And I'm getting ready to kind of tell him the names, and very casually, sort of matter of fact, nonchalant, he just sort of stops, interrupts his speech and says, oh, and Pope Francis has appointed you. And then he continues. And I'm so stunned, I'm not even sure I heard him correctly. So I'm afraid to say anything. And then he finishes a few more sentences and stops and says, you accept, don't you? And all I could think about was something that Father Bedard used to drill into us constantly. The word the Lord wants to hear from you is yes. In imitation of Our Lady, no matter what he's asking, the word that the Lord wants to hear from you is yes. And so even as I sat there feeling completely intimidated, feeling completely unworthy, wanting to protest, I said yes. And that was the day. There it was. I went home. I didn't sleep for two nights. I had to buy Z-Quil just to get to sleep the third night. I couldn't tell anybody for a week because it hadn't been released yet. And wow, what an overwhelming experience to know that you're called to be a successor of the apostles, a dignity that I can't even fathom. That I know as a fact that I'm completely unworthy of, but also just a consolation that the Lord chooses the weak and the foolish things of this world to shame the strong and to reveal that the grace and the power comes from Him and not through us, not in us.
As you've reflected on it, now how long have you been a bishop?
I've now been a bishop just over 10 years.
Yeah, and so as you've reflected on it, maybe in the moment you're like, why'd they choose me? Maybe at that front level, as you've looked back, knowing the formation and the journey that you were on, how do you see now looking back the unique journey the Lord brought you through, all the things He taught you, the way you encountered Him, and then now it's how it's expressed in your life as a bishop?
I think there's a lot of providence that I now recognize, even at the human level. As an undergrad, I studied Canadian history with sort of an emphasis on Canadian military history. And wrote my Tessina, in fact, on the use of gas in World War I because my grandfather had been gassed as a soldier in the Fort Garry Horse in the First World War. I had studied some Canadian constitutional history, and so now I'm in a position where I'm the military bishop, and an awful lot of what I do is relate to the government in terms of religious conscience rights. So there was a real providence there. And on top of that, my formation in the community, my formation as a pastor, my formation as a director of formation and in leadership as the general superior, I think all those things played into the way I try and live out being a bishop now. Those are all preparations and immense gifts to me. And, you know, but you never stop growing, you never stop learning, but I really do see the hand of providence giving me the experiences, giving me the faith, giving me the love for the church, giving me an understanding of the mission that really drives me now as a bishop.
Yeah. I know we've had lots of time to talk over the years, but also just recently about some key themes that you've been preaching on, teaching on, that are kind of burning in your heart to help bring Catholics into a deeper understanding. We got a couple more days this week. Maybe we can dive into some of those key themes that you feel like the Lord has put on your heart. Does that sound good?
That sounds great.
All right, friends, it's really a joy to have a bishop on the program. I haven't had too many over the years. And friends, let's remember our bishops. Let's love them. Let's pray for them. Let's really encourage them in their leadership, and because we are blessed. These are God's men that God has raised up, imperfect people like us, but nonetheless, those that God has chosen. So let's pray for them. Hope you can join us tomorrow. The show's going to keep getting better every day. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.